Good morning. It is Friday, February 13th, and you've tuned in to North Idaho News of the Week. I'm Jack Peterson, without Chris Bessler on this Friday the 13th, but here to bring us a little good luck is Sansre Mitchell, the senior writer for the Sandpoint Reader. Good morning, Sansre.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here. Happy Friday the 13th.
Oh.
Good luck.
A sentence never before said.
That's true. It's, I'm just thinking about it now. I've never had any notable bad luck on Friday the 13th. People say it's an unlucky day. I don't know. I've never really found that to be any different than any other day.
But I think you've jinxed yourself.
Right.
So
good point. I should. Okay, knock on this nice wood table we have here. Sansre is here to share the news of the week with us. It has been you're going to tell us, I think, a little bit about the kind of the news of the month and the year 2026 in Bonner County, which we haven't discussed at great length yet on these airwaves.
Mm-hmm.
But let's start at the state level. The House Bill 583 has passed the Idaho House Business Committee 9-1. In your paper, Sansre, Zach Hagedon is a big multi-page or more than one plus page article on the on this bill that deregulates short-term rentals. It's a bill to stop counties or to strip counties and cities of power to establish rules around short-term rentals and retain that power for the state. It would bar municipalities from separately regulating STRs, as they're called for short, as the city of Sandpoint does, among other municipalities. It has now been advanced to the full House with a do pass recommendation from the committee. One vote opposed and the majority in favor. We'll have to talk about that with one of our state politics analysts here on the airwaves sometime soon.
Mm-hmm.
But that would have major ramifications here in Sandpoint if that were to pass the full House and actually pass into law. Also, on the state level, the Idaho Supreme Court has upheld the private education tax credit. It unanimously held that the challengers to that law, which was passed as House Bill 93 last year, failed to show that the tax violates Article 9, Section 1 of the Idaho Constitution, so that tax credit remains in place. In county news, I'll give the headlines very briefly. Bonner County settled its lawsuit, or multiple lawsuits, with former Deputy Prosecutor Scott Bauer, and in another news brief, the county is missing an official zoning district map. We'll talk to Sansre about both those things in just a minute. I'll also like to mention that the East Bonner County Library Board met to discuss a potential change to its petition policy. In the past, all the petitioners were allowed to take signatures outside of the library, and there's been some controversy around whether they should be allowed to do so. There's no law against it or rule at the East Bonner County Library, but the library board is considering changing that policy or at least clarifying it. They met in February 9th, but they will meet again in March to actually come to a decision. They tabled it until that next March meeting. In the city of Sandpoint, the city is considering putting a local option tax on the May 2026 ballot. Mayor Jeremy Grimm has stated publicly in the past that he would like to see that item on the ballot. The discussion at City Hall during the City Council's February 4th meeting centered around what the tax would fund and the importance of transparency, as well as, I guess, related to that, the importance of properly informing the public about the goals of the measure, marketing, so to speak. Yet to be determined are the rate of the tax and its duration. The failed measure of 2024 sought a 1% sales tax over a term of 25 years. It didn't, I believe, had a majority, but did not pass the supermajority threshold to pass into law. This local option tax would be a sales tax within the city of Sandpoint and can only is available to resort cities under with a population under 10,000, like Sandpoint. That if the population goes above 10,000, the city loses its ability to pass such a tax, which generally has been understood to mean that the city's chance to pass such a tax is drawing to a close as the population continues to expand. The city is going to also host a public meeting on proposed downtown zoning changes. We've discussed these proposed changes in the past, and the process continues on. The Planning and Community Development Department will host a meeting on Thursday, a week from yesterday, from 9:30 to 11 a.m. at the Marigold Bistro inside the Columbia Bank building. That is inside the downtown outer core, where the proposed downtown outer core, a new zone that is being considered, a new zoning category. The changes to the zoning, policy would have some pretty significant impacts. Let's not go into those right this second, though. Let's talk about the county and what's going on here in Bonner County. And our Bonner County government. This lawsuit with, a series of lawsuits between Deputy Prosecutor Scott Bauer and the county has lasted about 5 years and has been in the news, off and on in the news for that whole period of time. And now it seems like all parties agree, reading your piece here, Sansere, all parties agree that it's at a close. The story's ended. You actually reached out and talked to Scott Bauer, as well as all the county commissioners, or at least reached out to all the county commissioners who were involved in this long, tumultuous affair. How should we do this? I guess we better give the background for listeners who aren't familiar at all with this story. How'd the lawsuit arise?
Yes. So for people who haven't been following along for the last 5 years, this all started in 2021 with a tort claim. And so former Deputy Prosecutor Scott Bauer worked advising the Bonner County Board of Commissioners and the Fair Board. And in 2021, he got into a little bit of a back and forth battle with the commissioners at the time, Jeff Connolly, Steve Bradshaw, and Dan McDonald. So it all started with the county establishing a role for the chief information officer, who they later hired as Brad Pashkin. And the chief information officer was supposed to kind of centralize information that was coming through all of the different county departments. And that became an issue because allegedly, according to Mr. Bauer, Pashkin and the county commissioners started sort of circumventing his legal advice and potentially, according to him, managing and looking into records from other departments and other county elected officials and employees that they shouldn't have been poking around in. And so things went back and forth. So those were the accusations that Bauer had against the county. Then the commissioners alleged at the same time that it was actually Bauer who was poking around where he shouldn't have been and accessing county records by essentially installing hacking software on computers. And these accusations were never proven. But it went back and forth, and things got more and more heated. And Bauer then essentially said, this is malicious defamation. This is libel. You are retaliating against me for doing my job. And so he established the initial notice of tort.
Was he still a county employee at the time?
He was,
still,
yes.
Still had his job, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so it didn't de-escalate from there. Mm-hmm. And then we got into the entire issue with the county fairgrounds financials, where there was a alleged misappropriation of funds. And as that was being investigated, Scott Bauer's name was thrown in there as potentially being tied to the loss of between $40,000 and $247,000 from the fairgrounds funds, which the investigation was concluded, I believe, in 23 or 24 by the sheriff's office, who kind of, they got sort of a handle on the investigation, but they essentially declared that then fairgrounds director Darcy Smith was at fault, and also that the fairgrounds financials just were not managed correctly. The investigation at the time was complicated by the suicide of Darcy Smith. And one of the big points of the first lawsuit that Scott Bauer issued against the county was that some of the commissioners had accused him of bullying Darcy Smith to the point that she committed suicide. And obviously that's a massive claim that, again, was never proven, and so that was one of the grounds for the malicious defamation that Scott Bauer alleged. So that was the first tranche of lawsuits. Then in 2023, he filed a tort against County Clerk Mike Rosedale for $500,000, and he lumped him into sort of the defamation. And also essentially accused the clerk's office of being the ones to either cover up or ignore, by not doing their job correctly, the issue with the fairgrounds financials. And that was, again, a big investigation. It was discovered that because the Fair Board under state statute is a quasi-autonomous organization, they had complete control over their finances that didn't have to come through the county. So the clerk's office had been, for the last decade, auditing the tax levies, the employee salaries, everything that they had access to, but they did not have access to the Fair Board's bank accounts that have all of the money from ticket sales and from the fair and the rodeo, things like that. So it was not the clerk's office responsibility to audit the fairgrounds. So that portion of the tort kind of went away. Ultimately, Mike Rosedale was lumped into Scott Bauer's defamation suit as a whole that has sort of morphed over the last 5 years. Then he issued another lawsuit against a deputy clerk, Veronica Dixon, in 2024. And so essentially at the time, she had been at one point reporting to the prosecutor's office and to Scott Bauer. She then was reporting to the county commissioners. And in her job description, it says that she reports to the county commissioners. So Scott Bauer alleged that that was not the real job description, that Veronica Dixon had falsified it so that she wouldn't have to report to him, essentially. And that was dropped. shortly after, as the BOCC said that, yes, she reports to us. So in the most recent overview lawsuit, Veronica Dixon is not mentioned. The only people who warranted that mention in the end were Commissioner Dan McDonald at the time, Chief Information Officer Pashkin, Rosedale, and then also former Commissioner Luke Ahmet, who also got lumped into the malicious defamation and said that he maligned him, Mr. Bauer, by retaliating against him by requesting an audit of his work expenses. So throughout all this, there are multiple lawsuits being levied against the county and different elected and employees. Scott Bauer is still on the payroll at this time because, of course, they can't fire him as deputy prosecutor because that would be malicious or wrongful termination because it would be retaliation for him suing them. The issue with that is he's their legal counsel at the time, and you can't be sued by your legal counsel and have your legal counsel still have access to all of your legal documents. So for the past few years, he has essentially been paid not to work because they couldn't give him access to the county records, but they couldn't fire him. And we are not sure at this point exactly how much he was making in salary. I would estimate it was over $100,000 a year, but that remains to be proven. So as this was going on, obviously they were paying legal fees. They were going to court. They were doing all of these different things. Ultimately, the county is self-insured, so they were carrying this as long as they could. They met their deductible and paid $500,000. And then the insurance took over for the rest of the $1 million in the settlement. And as part of this settlement, both parties agreed to dismiss everything. The district judge dismissed the case with prejudice, so it can never come back. It was a, as Scott Bauer said, a global settlement. So it included everything over the past 5 years, even though the claim only mentioned, obviously, as I said, fewer defendants than his original first four claims. And this got mixed reactions from people. Obviously, all of the current employees and elected officials couldn't really comment on it. I imagine that they were relieved to have everything finished and done with. The former commissioners that were mentioned in the lawsuit, Ahmet and McDonald, essentially said, "This is terrible. Why did we pay him? This was a stupid lawsuit." As Ahmet said, "Good grief." So it's definitely mixed emotions, and they never really said who was right and who was wrong at this point. They kind of settled the matter and said, "Please just go away, Mr. Bauer."
Yeah.
And so he no longer works for the county. He has started his own practice, and that hopefully, according to everybody, according to all reports, concludes the five-year saga.
Yeah. Seems like it. You actually spoke to Mr. Bauer.
I did.
How was that? What was the, I guess, what came out of that conversation? What was his takeaway from it?
He was mostly relieved to have it over. As I said in the piece, and it's actually the title of the news piece, he said the ordeal is over. He said, he clarified that, you know, he could have kept fighting, he could have kept the thing going, but because he started a new practice and has separated himself from the county, he wanted to focus on that as opposed to another year and thousands and thousands more dollars in legal fees fighting this whole thing. But he told me he believed that the entire thing was essentially a whistleblower lawsuit where he alleged that he had exposed these inadequacies and also these retaliatory actions by the county and was then punished for them with more retaliation and libel. And he essentially got everything in the settlement that he asked for in terms of acknowledgement. He initially, with all of the legal things that were adding up over the years, he was suing them for about $4.7 million, which he only got $1.5 million. But that settlement and that number represented his claims of reputational injury and emotional distress. The reason it got taken down a bit was because, of course, it all got consolidated. It wasn't multiple lawsuits anymore. And then also that original number included damages for future lost wages. And the reason that that ultimately got dropped is because they did not fire Mr. Bauer. So he was employed for that entire time and didn't lose wages. And then has been able to remain a lawyer and start his new practice. So he didn't actually have that financial detriment that he initially anticipated.
Well, it's over. That's what I guess what we can say.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's that, over.
I guess Bauer feels like he Bauer feels better about this than the former county commissioners that he was suing is what seems to be the case.
Yes. Yeah. For all the individuals involved, everybody still maintains that they were right.
Yeah.
But that's neither here nor there now.
Yep. Yes, that's over. Let's talk about another county news story. It says here in this week's paper that the county is missing an official zoning district map. But look, Sansre, right here in the paper, there's a map right there. What do you call this if that's not a zoning map?
What's going on here?
Yeah. Okay. So how does a county not have an official zoning district map? And what are the effects of this lack of map?
So great questions, great questions. How do you, in this day and age, lose a map that is both physical and digital?
Yes.
This is a question that I asked the county. The county will not tell me. Maybe one day, hopefully, fingers crossed. But essentially, the zoning district map, the last official one that we had was adopted in 2022. And it has all of the different zones for property throughout the county labeled, and with them the ordinance that established that zoning and little notes about things that have changed over the years as we have updated and passed new ordinances and things like that. So the county is required to keep a map, which is also essentially a log of everything that has happened since the last time they adopted this zoning district map. And they did this in 2022, as I said, and that map is gone somehow. So the map that you see in the paper that is from the county GIS, that's Graphics Information System or Services, I can't quite remember. But that's the map that's available to the public that is showing all of the different zoning districts. The information that's shown in that map and available to the public is from 2008 to 2010. Right now, the county is operating with the official zoning map from 2010. So it's not the most recently adopted one. It was once the official zoning district map until they adopted the new one in 2022. And So it's a bit confusing because obviously we still have records of all of the ordinances and all of the zone changes that have gone into effect since 2010. So theoretically, we could take that 2010 map and update it with all of the information from the last 15, 16 years, and then create a new 2026 official zoning district map. And that would be that. And county code, Bonner County Revised Code, has how-tos, essentially, on what happens if you lose the map, which I think were probably from an older time when the map was a paper map. And it says, just adopt a new one. And so the commissioners on their last Bonner County board meeting on Tuesday, was that February 5th? No.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, it says February 5th land use hearing.
That was the land use hearing.
Different, I guess, than the Board of Commissioners
yes.
hearing.
This last Tuesday.
Okay.
Not Friday the 13th.
Tuesday the 10th?
Tuesday the 10th. There we go. Tuesday the 10th. They had it on the agenda that they were going to adopt a new zoning district map. And then at the beginning of the meeting, at the request of the planning department, they said, we're not going to do that for this meeting. They struck it from the record. And they did not explain why. And nobody asked about it. In that meeting. And so everything proceeded as normal. And then in order to write this story, I reached out to Chair Brian Domke and also to Interim Planning Director Alex Fayen and asked, what gives? Why didn't you pass a new one? Is it because you found the 2022 map? Is it because you're still looking for the 2022 map? Is it because you want to do it in a different public meeting that's specifically dedicated to that? And after calling many, many times and emailing and getting the sense that they had received my messages and were purposefully not calling me back, I finally made it through to Alex Fayen, who said no comment. I asked if there was anything that he could tell me about the issue, and he said no, but that eventually questions would be answered.
Okay.
But not right now.
Well, yeah, I guess all I have then is unanswerable questions, because we'll have to wait rather than diving into speculation, especially as our time grows short here. But it's an interesting story. A missing map.
A missing map.
Yes.
A treasure map.
In this day and age, right? I mean, it does seem like it would be hard to lose such a thing.
Yes. Hard to lose an electronic map.
Right. I mean, you almost think, what if what causes such a thing to be lost? I don't know. What or who?
What?
Okay, but let's not get there. Let's not go there. This is, we don't know anything yet. One more thing, the Panhandle Bike Ranch.
Yes.
You've been writing the stories about that. We've talked about it on the radio before. Their most recent, conditional use permit was denied. So they were seeking to build sort of a visitor center and bathroom, and that permit was denied by the county. What's next is that's something we haven't really talked about is for the Panhandle Bike. It's the Panhandle Bike Ranch. What's next for that organization or that piece of property?
So they have already filed a legal challenge, which will eventually go to the courts. And then depending on the court's decision, if it's similar to previous court decisions, it will be sent back to the county commissioners for review. And they will have to decide yet again what kind of use a bike park is and if it requires a conditional use permit for the residential zoning that the land exists in. And I would assume that their decision will change, at least their debate about the decision will change, because since the last time this issue was heard, the Panhandle Bike Ranch has applied for nonprofit status. And so when the conditional use permit hearing came up, they had yet to receive that status from the IRS, because everything with the IRS takes 8 million years.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time the legal challenge goes through and comes back for a decision, I assume that they will be an officially registered nonprofit and operating that way based on donations. And so they will no longer need a conditional use permit, because that is simply allowed in residential zoning. And at that point, they will probably be able to build their welcome center and their bathrooms and maintain their operations without charging money for tickets.
Right. Yeah, they're operating just on donations.
Yes.
Right now. Okay. With that, it is now it's past 8:30, and we should probably sign off. Anything you want to say about cannibalism? You wrote a nice little article about the eating of people by other people.
Yes. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day. Yes.
We have written everything there is to write about Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. And so there is cannibalism. There are mm-hmm. many types of cannibalism. So enjoy that, or avoid the back page, depending on what you'd prefer.
Yeah. read at your own risk.
Yes. Guess,
the back of the book this week. Sansari, thank you very much for telling us giving us a whirlwind update on what's going on in Bonner County.
Thank you.
And with that, I'll turn it over to Otto's Eclectic Mix. Hey, it's the parade tonight. The signs are out. No parking on First Avenue from 4:30 to 7 p.m. and elsewhere downtown. And you can come out and see the parade, which I, Jack Peterson, will be. I will be announcing the floats as they go past. I think I'm standing out on the balcony of the Hive with some speakers. So if you're not sick of my voice yet, just wait. Okay. No, that parade starts this evening. I think it kicks off at 5, maybe 5:30. But the streets are closed from 4:30 onwards, and people can start gathering. Okay, Otto's Eclectic Mix. Thanks for listening to North Idaho News of the Week.